the D&D Morning Show. We've got another episode coming at ya. Boom, boom, bing.
It's a good one.
Uh-huh. I don't know. I think we need some reviews.
Some comments. Yes, yeah. Yes, back me up. Dorothy shuts down all my musical.
No, that's not true. I support your musical adventures.
Those are good. Those are like animal sounds.
Yes, they are.
Sometimes Dorothy and I mess around and we see like an animal. And we're like, what does that cow sound like? Yeah, cow's like, mmm. They're not like moo. I've never heard a cow say moo.
How about a horse?
Or a pig? A pig's never like, oink, oink. It's like,
could you imagine you went around and taught children this?
You could teach your kids that.
You could teach your kids that. And then he'd be playing with another kid and the little kid would be going, moo, moo. And he says, no. It goes, ma.
The kid wouldn't get along with all the other kids.
Anyway.
What do we got going on today?
What's the fun fact today?
Oh, fun fact.
We got a fun fact.
The fun fact is Dorothy's made up words. So she makes up words all the time. And I'm like,
what happens? I don't mean to.
I'm like, what are you talking about? She's like, you know. And then she'll say a word. And I'm like, that's not a word. So when we're in LA, there's this street called Esplanade.
Esplanade.
And Dorothy calls it Esplanade.
Esplanade.
Because if you pronounce all the letters, it probably sounds like Esplanade.
Well, I put the L in the wrong spot. Because sometimes my letters mix up in my brain. And also, there is a lot of Spanish words.
Yeah.
Around. Like Los Angeles. Like street names and all of these things. So, like, I try to pronounce everything Spanish.
See how she says, like, this and that? She always mixes up this and that.
What did I say?
She said, this things.
This things.
These things.
Well, he corrects me all the time.
Yeah, we always have these like little arguments. Oh, like, what are you talking about? That's
like,
not a word.
I like to pluralize things. Or not pluralize things. What is it? Just like, it's plural. You don't have to put S on it.
She doesn't always understand that some words are plural on their own.
Like, feats. Sometimes I say feats. Yeah. And Drew's like, it's already plural.
I'm like, plural. She's like, what do you mean?
I said, we got two of them. And he's like, feet is plural. I'm like, ah, whatever. Feet.
How about your bicep?
Hey, Drew, take a look at my bicep. It's growing. He's like, what the heck is a bicep? What's that T doing on there?
I said, did you add a T on bicep? And she's like, that's what it is, bicep.
Well, I noticed I said it wrong when I was doing my personal training course. And I was like labeling my little man, and I'm like, bicep? And my teacher was like, what the heck is that? Bicep. What's that T there for? A bicep muscle. No T.
There's another one that I wanted to share. I had to share it with you guys. And it was fruitation. Yeah. So Dorothy calls like thing, she uses fruitation instead of fruition. And she was like saying it, and I like thought she was just messing around. And I was like, it was a more serious context, conversation.
If you can imagine us being serious.
And she said, now I'm confused, she said fruitation. And yeah. I'm like, it's fruition. And she's like, what do you mean it's fruition?
I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. Fruitation. You know, like when a fruit ripens, that's fruitation. When an idea comes to like be fruitation, like a fruit ripening. The heck is fruition? That doesn't even make sense.
This is what goes on up there. It's scary sometimes.
Oh, that's what happens.
That's what happens.
But Drew's always like, what are you talking about? I'm like, how come you can't understand me? Speak my language, please.
Oh, speak English?
He calls it Piccadilly language.
Or pirate.
Pirate.
Pirate language. Because it's not really language. It's like a mixture of words that makes sense to few people.
Me. It only has to make sense to me, right?
All right, let's move on. What we got?
Today, we've got Easter coming up here. So today we're going to talk.
Oh, we should have like the Easter basket.
Oh, that's Drew's idea of a bunny. Oh, there we go. Pen, pen, le, la, pen. I have a song about a bunny in French.
Oh, can we save it for Never.
Another time. So we're talking about Easter tips, specifically to do with Easter dinner. And you know, it's kind of like any holiday. There's chocolates and candies and all these things around that we don't normally eat, just like Halloween and Christmas and all that. So these tips could actually be like holiday tips. But since Easter's coming up, we're going to give you some tips, some Easter tips.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, yeah, that's, why don't you, do you want to start sharing some Easter tips?
Sure, I'll start. So mine are all to do around like food. So usually, unless we're the ones hosting, we're going to family's or friend's house. And we don't really have much control over what's being served, right? You don't go online and look at the menu and decide before you go, like you would a restaurant. So like you gotta kind of make the best choices possible. A lot of times, hopefully, a lot of times your family knows what about your healthy eating habits. If they don't, maybe that's a conversation you could have, you know, in advance to the dinner, or like hopefully way before the dinner.
Yeah.
But, okay, go ahead.
I just want to say that that's a big one, because I mean, we're so afraid to share that, like to share that we're living a healthier lifestyle. We want people to, or like, you know, we're hiding that those healthy food choices, but we're really holding ourselves back. Like, I know we're afraid of failure and we don't want people to judge us. Like, it's all kinds of crazy things that go on in our minds, but by not telling people, like, for example, if you tell people in your workplace, then maybe they won't invite you out for unhealthy drinks afterwards, right? Mm. Or maybe they won't, if you go and enjoy their company, maybe they won't encourage you to have that extra appetizer. Mm. Or if you're going to friends and family's house, they're usually supportive. I know we don't always feel that way, but they'll usually give you some healthy options or be more open if you request something or bring your own.
Yeah, that was one of my suggestions, is bring something, like let them know ahead of time, oh, I'm gonna bring this. Like contribute in some way to the meal, so then you know there's something there that is a healthy option and that you can eat.
Right, and if they know that you're working towards healthier options, they'd be more open to having healthier meals for you, or if you bring something. Because a lot of times, I know, you know, we feel, or the other side might feel like, well, my food's not good enough. Mm. But if you set that standard ahead of time and they know in advance, like, I've been working on this for months, I don't want to come over and gain 10 pounds.
Yeah.
Sit there for 2.5 days and eat everything unhealthy possible.
Yeah.
But if you bring your own stuff and tell your family members so they know beforehand, they'll be much more open-minded to accept that.
Yeah, absolutely. And always eat before you go as well.
It's a big one.
So eat at home, eat your food before you go, because a lot of times, on holidays especially, we have to travel, so we're kind of in a rush to get where we need to go. We skip a meal, a lot of times that happens, right? We're rushing around, we have to be somewhere, we skip a meal. We know a big meal's coming up, maybe we want to preserve our belly space, but don't do that, right? That's my suggestion, not to do that, because then you get there, you're not sure what time exactly you're eating, but there's most likely treats out because it's the holidays, and you're gonna be so hungry if you skip a meal that you're just gonna stuff your face with all the things that...
Yeah, it's with anything. If it's sitting in front of you, you're gonna eat, especially if you're hungry.
Yeah.
That's why it's so important to have that meal before you go.
Mm-hmm. Or something even simple, like a smoothie in the car or something like that, but have something before you go. Mm-hmm.
I would say hydration's a big one.
Ooh.
So make sure you stay...
think of that.
Make sure you're staying hydrated, like drinking your fluids before, when you go there, just pay attention to the things that we are consuming. If it's a whole day thing, maybe there's coffee in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know when we drink coffee, all over the place, throughout the day.
Yeah.
But just pay attention to, or understand that those are diuretic, so that's taking water from our body. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of defeating the purpose of staying hydrated throughout the day. And then if it's alcoholic drinks, I mean, enjoy a little bit, but understand what you're doing. You know, you're putting those alcoholic beverages in your body that are detrimental to our health. And we've all been working hard up to this holiday, whether it be Easter or other. And the other one is, just like sugary drinks, fruity sugary drinks.
Yeah.
Those are, I mean, they're full of sugar. And again, that's taking away from hydration and putting toxins in our body. So sometimes I don't think we consider what we're drinking.
No, I don't think so either.
Maybe we have our clean and healthy meals, or cleaner healthy meals, but then we're unfortunately filling our bodies with all these liquids that is harmful.
Yeah. I mean, if you must have an alcoholic drink, you know, it's best to stay away from ones, like Drew was saying about the juices and the pops. Like, it's probably best to stay away from a drink that has alcohol and a pop or a juice, right? Because then you're kind of double whammy, right? So stick to something that...
If you can drink vodka, just drink it straight.
That's not what I was saying. Please don't.
Drink responsibly. Drink your bottle responsibly. No. I know what you're saying.
Okay.
And then, do you have any tips, any more tips, like tips afterwards?
Well, another tip I had was about dessert. So a lot of times that, well, always usually that comes with a big meal, you know, the pies, the cakes, the squares. So a couple of things to kind of help get through that is share with somebody, right? Like, don't be afraid to have a small piece, right? And be like, ooh, that's too big, can you cut that in half, for example? Or if you're going with somebody, like a husband or friend, or even like your little kids, right? Share one with them, and then you can have half. But you can also have a snack that you bring. So perhaps you want to make a healthy dessert to contribute to the meal or the dinner, and then you can have your own.
That's a good one. Because then you know what's in it, you know all the ingredients, you know what's going on inside it.
Yeah.
And how it was made, and you don't have to worry about a bunch of sugar. You know, unfortunately, those always come up. Those desserts are always there. So, but like Dorothy was saying, sometimes just a little piece, like just to, I don't know, soothe our craving or our palate of something sugary or sweet, that's enough.
And to feel included as well, because everyone's sitting around dessert, and you know, sometimes it's difficult to watch everybody eat it, right? So just have something little, a little tiny piece or...
So for me, the last tip would be to have a meal prepared and ready when you get home. So a lot of times we, you know, we eat all that unhealthy food right before we leave because we know we don't have anything to eat in the evening.
We don't have anything at home ready.
In the fridge. There's nothing in the fridge, there's nothing to eat, or it's a long drive home. And, you know, we don't want to be hungry. So, but having that meal plan is so important because knowing that you have a meal, food ready, then you don't overindulge at the end. And you have something to look forward to, so a healthy, clean meal.
Yeah, you're less likely to overindulge at the meal because you know you have something else to eat on the way home or when you get home. I have one more.
What'd you got?
One more.
Bring it.
We didn't really talk about the actual meal, right? At dinner. My words. This is what happens sometimes. Sometimes
like
they don't come out. But just be careful of what you're putting on your plate, portion size as well. Veggies, I always start with the veggies. That's my biggest tip. Load up the plate with veggies, like half of your plate. Salads and veggies and, you know, like really, really loaded up. I'm getting into this now.
Getting serious.
Getting serious.
Like half.
Yeah, but seriously, I'm being half serious here. Like half of your plate should be veggies.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah.
Well, depending on your lifestyle, like some people, like we went to a function and our whole plate was full of veggies.
Yeah.
That's what we eat. So, but just depending on how people live, like it could be 3/4 veggies or half. But
yeah.
Or you could start with the big salad. Like fill your plate with the big salad, eat that, and then go back.
Then go back.
Because then you have some food in your system. You're not starving, and then you you don't put that stuff that's not so healthy.
Yeah. Yeah. And with the carbs, generally, it's like mashed potatoes. It's white carbs usually, right? It's like those simple carbs. So it's like mashed potatoes and buns and breads. So try to just have a little tiny bit of that. And skip the sauces, like the gravies and all of that. Yeah. Salad dressing, stuff like that.
You know, it's a cool little tip is get a smaller plate.
Because
I think we get the big plate and then we load it up and like keep it over. We're like so hungry, we're super excited. Yeah. Everyone's in a good mood. Then after we're like, whoa, what did I do? So get yourself like a salad plate, fill that up, eat that, and then go back for more. Mm-hmm. It's a good little tip. I just thought of that now.
Oh, boom, boom, ching.
Hey!
that was my tip. So watch the carbs, load up on veggies, skip sauces and dressings and all of that kind of stuff. And a smaller meat portion as well would be helpful.
Yeah. It's important to pay attention to those food, like food combining and stuff. Like for example, if you have you have your meal, your main course, it would be beneficial to yourself, to your digestion, to your energy levels, if you waited an hour or so before you had like sugary sweets, because mm-hmm. those, you know, certain carbohydrates, those meats don't mix with sugar very mm-hmm. well, and our stomach is like, that's when it starts tossing and turning. Yeah. So just relax, be mindful of what you're doing, enjoy company, talk yeah. to your family, and if you like them. And enjoy your meal instead of, you know, eating it so quickly you don't even know what you have.
What you have. And when you said about digestion, I got a little light bulb.
What you got for us?
Fermented foods.
Ooh, very nice.
Usually when we go to family or friends for dinner, more than likely we know that we'll be consuming foods that we don't normally consume. So we always bring our some kombucha with us, yeah. or have some before and after.
Which is a rule of thumb for us if we eat yeah. anywhere besides
our home.
Yeah, anytime you go out, anytime yeah. you have food that you didn't prepare, regardless if it's clean, like that's just what we do. It's
yeah.
A reaction, I guess. Mm-hmm. So that's a good point.
Yeah.
That's something that you guys can do is we recommend sometimes probiotics or
yeah.
Pills, but we make our own fermented foods. Mm-hmm. So it's so easy to make your own. And if you guys need help with that, let us know.
Yeah. You have a little video of fermented foods.
We got lots of stuff. Yeah. Yeah. We got lots of stuff. We got a whole workshop, two video workshop yeah. too. So that's at trueformlife.com/how to make kombucha. And it's not just kombucha. We talk about the benefits, how to make it, different forms of it. We have radio shows linked mm-hmm. to it, tons of information. So
it's good stuff.
Yeah, you guys can go there if you haven't seen it yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're wrapping it up with a quote.
Well, do you want me to talk about the recipe real quick?
Oh yeah. Oh, we got the raw.
We got chocolate. A raw chocolate recipe.
What you got?
For Easter. So if you want to skip those refined sugary chocolates, you can make your own chocolate. So that's going to be our recipe of the week. You really only need the base of the chocolate is cacao powder. And this is like the raw form of the cacao powder. It's different than the cocoa powder that you'll find at the grocery store. So the cacao powder is just the bean, the chocolate bean crushed up. The cocoa powder you find at the grocery store is it's all other things in it, like it's sugar and
chop
process.
It up and they put milk in it and yeah. Sugar in it, and mm-hmm. you'll see it's not dark chocolate.
No.
It's like a milky type of chocolate, mm-hmm. which isn't. It's not natural. It's not raw.
Mm-hmm. So visit your health food store and get cacao powder yeah. instead of the cocoa powder. That's a huge detail. And then you need cacao butter as well. And then, so easy, you melt the cacao butter very, very lowly. Lowly.
That she said lowly. Well, it's not over.
Very low and slow. Melt it, and then you add your powder and a sweetener. So usually honey is my go-to. I've never done it with maple syrup, but I don't know if you could. I'm sure you could. But my go-to sweetener is the honey. So those three ingredients, and just whisk it up. This is my whisking motion. Whisk it up. Maybe I should whisk faster. Anyway, whisk it all together. If you want it to be kind of glossy and like have a little nice texture, you can put a little bit of coconut oil in there as well. But that's like the basics of the recipe. Then you spread out parchment paper on a cookie sheet. You pour the chocolate mixture on there and throw it in the freezer. When it's hardened, you can break it up into bark. Mm-hmm. And that's like the basic chocolate recipe. But there's all kinds of ways that you can add nuts, dried fruit. There's all kinds of different ways you can spice it up.
Sea salt or Himalayan
salt.
So, super easy, and it's delicious. Like it mm-hmm. tastes like I love raw chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
Dark chocolate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we'll see that recipe going up.
All right, let's end off with a quote.
Sure, I got a really good quote. It's new to me. It's not a brand new quote, it's new to me, but I loved it so much that I posted it right up here on my kitchen cupboard with my nice beachy picture. So it says, "The biggest adventure you can take is to live the life of your dreams." I love that.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think many times that we don't actually follow the things that make us happy.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yes. Because it's scary sometimes to leave what you know and what you've always done to go after what you truly want or what you truly dream of.
Regardless of how miserable it is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we do the same thing day after day. Do you like your job? Not really. Like, how we got into things, like, how we live our lives every day. It's just, it's normal for us. It's safe.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if we were to follow that passion and follow those adventures, we'd be much happier in life.
For sure. Love it.
That's
something
enough
to work towards.
I think we could all take a small step to do that each and every day.
Pow!
Oh. Let's bring them back the high five.
That's right.
All right, let's wrap it up.
That's what we got. The end.
Move it. We need one of those things.
Things.
That's going to go
with my music.
It's going to go with my intro music. Boom, boom, bing.
Catch you on the next one, guys. We're out.
See ya.